are going to talk about a controversial arrest of a young black woman outside the East Town Mall in Madison earlier this week. A viral video of that forceful arrest has sparked outrage from Madison's black community and has local leaders and state officials calling for a review of whether police officers used excessive force. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, June 24th. We will hear from two different guests about the criticism of Madison police, and we will welcome your reaction. Have you seen this video? Have you heard about this arrest? What is your reaction? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Later in this hour, we will welcome in Chris Taylor, the Democratic State Representative from Madison, who is calling for an investigation of what occurred. First, we will talk with Jessica McBride, a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece, It's Well Past Time to Stop the Unfair Criticism of Madison Police, included a response to criticism of Madison Police following the incident at Easttown on Tuesday. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. How are you? I should point out I'm with University of Wisconsin Milwaukee, not Madison. So
I apologize.
I have to give my university a shout out. That's fine.
Yeah. In any case, I'm sorry I misspoke there. It was written correctly for me, but I just had a brain freeze, I guess. When you say Madison police can't catch a break, the first sentence in the piece, what do you mean by that?
Well, I've observed there's a pattern in Madison, and I think we see this nationally too, but certainly in Madison, where there seems to be a rush to judgment against the police for using lawful force. Or in the mall case, non-lethal force that obviously should be reviewed, but that doesn't seem to not conform, on the face of it, to national and state guidelines for use of force. You also had an incident where an alderman expressed fear over the Madison police chief sitting behind him with a gun at a meeting. I mean, he's a police chief. It's part of his job description to be armed. So you're seeing this overheated rhetoric in the Madison community, directed toward the police when they're exercising, in some cases, lawful force. And in my opinion, they're exercising their obligation to restore social order in various situations in the community or to protect other citizens from people who are threatening them, as appears, allegedly anyway, to be the case in the mall situation.
Yeah, I talked some about what happened that led up to the arrest of this 18-year-old woman outside Easttown Mall.
Well, I mean, that seems to be getting lost in some of this overheated rhetoric where, for example, the police actions to arrest this woman, the restraint, it's being called everything from savage to barbaric to brutal, all of these sort of overheated terms. There are people calling for the officer's arrest and for the woman's release. So you're right, let's revisit what did the woman allegedly do. Now, obviously, this would have to be proven in a court of law, too. There are allegations at this point by the police department, but they seem sort of lost in the debate. Allegedly, she pointed a knife at a Taco Bell employee, made threats against the Taco Bell employee, this is all allegedly, made threats to kill mall security officers, who then called the police, who showed up. She spit in an officer's eye, scratched and kicked officers, injuring them, threatened to bite officers, and was generally agitated, completely noncompliant, and completely out of control. So if you're the police officers and you're in this situation, you then have an obligation to restore social order and to arrest this woman in a way that protects yourselves, and the community and her. And I would point out here that what the officers appear to have done, it doesn't look pretty on cell phone video, especially, a snippet of cell phone video that's unanchored from the context of the 15-minute entire incident and unanchored from training guidelines and use of force continuum. But what the officer did is he punched her with a closed fist, struck her with his knee several times, and tased her, and then put a spit hood on her. Well, there were two officers involved in the restraint, I should say. Now, that looks, you know, terrible on a cell phone video to people who don't understand how officers are trained in use of force. But, you know, anyone who takes 2 minutes to look up the national and state guidelines sees pretty quickly that those actions are not only allowed by use of force continuums, but they're recommended. It's the suggested sort of graduated response that officers are trained to use when dealing with agitated, out-of-control people. It's not unlawful or unheard of for an officer to use physical force to restrain a person.
Yeah, it as you mentioned, it doesn't look pretty, in your words. But we also see, we also hear the young woman saying, "I am 120 pounds," and she is a small woman, and two police officers are forcibly bringing her down to the cement. A lot of people are saying, why would two police officers need to use that kind of force to contain an 18-year-old 120-pound woman?
Well, I mean, you can see from the cell phone video she appears completely out of control, and so how else are they supposed to obtain compliance from someone completely agitated and thoroughly out of control? And I would also note that, you know, she, you know, allegedly, again, had a 4-inch butterfly stiletto knife at one point in this incident. And, you know, there's a lot of rumors flying around about this knife. It could have been plastic. It was a spork from the food court. I've heard all these things. So I contacted the police spokesman in Madison and said, what was this knife? And he said, according to the reports, it's a 4-inch butterfly stiletto knife. Was pretty easily concealed. How did they know she wasn't armed with something else? I mean, the bottom line is when you go through the use of force continuums from the State Department of Justice, from the National Institute of Justice, it allows for such restraint. I mean, I can go through it quickly if you'd like. I mean, here's the use of force continuum, and they call it a continuum because officers aren't supposed to start with the level of force you saw in the cell phone. They're supposed to start with their mere presence to see if that diffuses the situation. Like, obviously, that didn't work here. And then they're supposed to escalate to verbalization, calmly ask for compliance, then escalate to louder verbalization. And obviously, that didn't work here. She's still out of control. And then they're allowed to use bodily force to gain control of the situation. They're supposed to start with soft techniques, which include, I'm reading right out of the guidelines here, grabs, holds, and joint locks to restrain individuals. This can graduate to what's called a hard technique, which appears to be what we're seeing on the cell phone video, where they're told to use punches and kicks to restrain the individual. Then they can graduate to less lethal methods like using a taser, which we also saw here, or pepper spray or a baton. And then finally, and I think it's, you know, notably, this didn't, and thankfully this didn't happen in the mall arrest, they can then graduate to a lethal weapon to gain control of the situation if the suspect's posing a serious threat to harm an officer or another individual. And that's what we see with police shootings. So I thought with the police shooting debate, the public was saying, we want officers to stop short of that. We want officers to use non-lethal measures such as tasers, you know, and other restraint techniques to gain compliance from very out-of-control threatening people. And so that's what they did here. You could argue that they prevented, you know, a worse situation by, you know, sort of sticking with the soft technique and the hard technique versus escalating it further.
Yeah. We have just a minute before news break. But what do you make of the calls for an investigation of what happened here? Is that unrealistic? Is that out of line?
No, it's absolutely 100% needed, I think. And I'm not saying 100% the officers did nothing wrong here because it's all too fresh, right? I mean, we've seen a little portion of the cell phone video. We know what the police department's saying. Obviously, it should be investigated. And who knows, maybe they'll turn up something where they didn't comply with guidelines and training, et cetera. What I am saying, however, is that this instant, you know, rush to judgment, these incendiary conclusions that are being drawn immediately by community officials, by elected officials, you know, they're prejudging the situation based on an isolated cell phone video that doesn't contain the full context. And they're making their arguments seemingly uneducated about use of force. And they seem to be arguing, I know you have to go to break, but, it, you know, in sort of summary here, they seem to be arguing that it's wrong for police to restrain individuals using any kind of physical contact, which is completely unrealistic.
We are talking with Jessica McBride about this controversial arrest of a 18-year-old black woman in Madison earlier this week. We're talking with her about her piece, "It's Well Past Time to Stop Unfair Criticism of the Madison Police." I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we are getting two takes on a controversial arrest in Madison earlier this week. A video of Madison police officers using their fists, knees, and a taser on an 18-year-old woman during an arrest outside of the Easttown Mall in Madison has many criticizing Madison police for their handling of this arrest and calling for thorough investigations of what occurred. We will talk with Democratic State Representative Chris Taylor about this coming up after 7:30. Right now we are talking with Jessica McBride, a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. Her recent piece, "It's Well Past Time to Stop the Unfair Criticism of Madison Police," included a response of criticism of Madison Police following that incident earlier this week. She says that an investigation is certainly called for, but people are rushing to judgment and condemning the Madison Police unfairly for what appears to be lawful tactics used in this arrest. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org if you have a question or a reaction. As mentioned, we will be talking with State Representative Taylor. In her statement, Jessica, she said, "Too often videos like this one have exposed violent mistreatment of people of color at the hands of the police." What's your reaction to that?
Well, again, use of force guidelines, national and state, allow physical force to restrain out of control combative subjects. So to just say, well, it's violent as if it's hideously wrong, you know, they're completely out of line because they made physical contact with or with the punches and the kicks is a misunderstanding of use of force and what's allowed under the law. And it's not just about strength. I was thinking more about what you said where some people are saying she's only 120 pounds. But dangerousness isn't just strength when police are dealing with a combative person. The scratching and the spitting is a health issue for law enforcement officers, right? And mm-hmm. and they were sent to the hospital in this incident with minor injuries. But, you know, that's a dangerous scenario. If you have somebody you don't know scratching you, threatening to bite you, and spitting at you, allegedly, of course. And I would also point out, this case reminds me somewhat of an incident in Milwaukee several years ago where there was a Lamborghini driver, and there was a use of force situation where the officer was captured on cell phone video delivering similar focused strikes, you know, it looked like punches, to the individual in order to restrain him. And in the end of that incident, after it was reviewed, it was found that not only did the officer use lawful restraint tactics in doing that, but he also was justified in the minds of one expert to have used much greater force to restrain the individual. So it's just a complete misnomer to argue that police officers sort of never have a right to use bodily force when trying to restrain people.
Let's go to Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I hear a lot of, thank you for taking my call. I hear a lot of allegedly doing this and allegedly doing that, except for in the video, the woman appears agitated, but not at all threatening. And they show the police taking her down and she's down on the ground. And I mean, the whole way down, they're giving her punches and kicks. And it's like, you got two men trying to take down an 18-year-old girl. I don't see the cause. It doesn't seem apparent And if they're saying, well, this happened 10 minutes ago over there, it seemed by the time that she was outside that she was calm, clearly agitated, but calm enough where they should have been able to take her down without kicking and punching her with closed fists.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't agree with the interpretation of the cell phone video. For one, she seemed very, you know, agitated and noncompliant, and they were having a great deal of trouble trying to arrest her and, you know, get handcuffs on her and so forth and so on. So she was threatening to bite them and spitting on them. And I use the word allegedly because all of this is stuff we know through the news media and through, you know, a citizen cell phone video. So that's just my journalistic training, and I think we should all be doing that. But she was certainly resisting arrest. There's no question she was resisting arrest. So I guess I'm not sure what people expect the police to do in a situation like that. I mean, what are they supposed to do when someone is just literally refusing arrest and, you know, fighting with them and threatening to bite them, spitting on them, and scratching them?
Let's go to Mike and Nina. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
First off, I just want to say thank you for bringing on a guest who clearly is incredibly well-educated by use of force of law enforcement. It seems like most people aren't. I would pretty much agree with everything she said in this. I work in law enforcement myself. I would argue that everything that she's saying is correct. I've been more worried about use of force incidents where I was covered in somebody else's blood or spit than I ever was about getting punched in the face or kicked or that kind of stuff. You know, the size of the subject in this point is irrelevant. I'm kind of blown away by other people's unqualified legal interpretation that this wasn't resisting arrest. This is pretty much textbook resisting arrest. And unfortunately, regardless of the fact she's 120 pounds, she's still capable of doing a lot of damage to those officers. And the way that they followed the use of force criterion in this circumstance was incredibly justified. They did what they needed to do to get her down. I realize for the average person, it looks very unpleasant and it doesn't look like a lot of fun. But again, the average citizen has never been in a fight, let alone in a circumstance like this. And my question to them would be, if we are there to lawfully arrest somebody and they do not want to go in custody, what would you like us to do if we can't use force? And the minimum force required. And I don't know what people want us to do if we're not allowed to forcefully take somebody into custody.
I mean, I thought people wanted the police to use non-lethal tactics. Like, I want that. I think we should all want that. And so, you know, I'm glad that they use tactics short of lethal force. But now they're being criticized for using standard non-lethal tactics to gain compliance. So I agree with the caller. Like, I'm not sure what people expect the cops to do. Just use verbal commands and let people run away or wrestle away from them or, you know, cause them potential harm or cause themselves potential harm or cause other people potential harm. I would also note that in February, there was a major collaborative study in Dane County on police use of force. This involved the police, but it also involved community organizations. I found a copy of the study on the United Way of Dane County website, for example. And it contains the use of force guidelines from the Wisconsin Department of Justice training. It is called the Control Process Disturbance Resolution Model. And it also suggests and allows for hard techniques, such as punches and kicks and the tasing, to retain control of non-compliant people. So it's in their own study.
Yeah. You mentioned in your piece, the cops must wonder at some point whether Madison even wants a police force. But I assume they know that the quiet majority does. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it just seems like people are what they're objecting to, in a sense, is law enforcement officers exercising their authority to enforce the rule of law. I mean, that's what it sort of boils down to. If they're being criticized to this degree, and some people are even calling for their arrest, you know, because they're using what appears to be, at least at this point, lawful force and has, you know, been deemed lawful force in the past in incidents. And so they're sort of being criticized for doing their jobs at that point. And I start to wonder, you know, what mission people see for law enforcement in their communities. But I do think there is a quiet majority that recognizes that although police officers sometimes do get it wrong and they should be, you know, punished severely when they do, the vast majority of law enforcement officers toil, you know, away in very, very difficult, challenging, fast-paced jobs. And so I guess I do think there's this quiet majority, but I wonder what the vocal minority really wants the police mission to be.
Yeah. Truxham, as we wrap up with you about your line, you say the results of this case are to be proven in the court of law and not the court of YouTube.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're all reacting once again to a citizen cell phone video, and that can be very misleading because the police chief had said this entire incident went on for 15 minutes, and obviously this video is nowhere near that length, so it's unanchored in the context of the situation. And, you know, however, everything that was said, the reason I use allegedly is because we know some of this information according to the police. And I think the proper forum to review all this, to vet all this, is, you know, the courtroom, and or, as well as just, you know, the standard review process, which should be done by, you know, an objective agency. And I think we should all withhold judgment, really. We should not rush to judgment and be calling for the rest of the police officers and so forth until that's done. I think trial by media and trial by the court of YouTube are very dangerous things.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica McBride, senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, a columnist with the Waukesha Freeman and on Milwaukee.com. We have posted her recent piece. It's well past time to stop the unfair criticism of Madison police on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will now get another perspective on this controversial arrest in Madison earlier this week. Chris Taylor is a Democratic state representative from Madison. She issued a statement following the arrest at Easttown Mall on Tuesday, and we will welcome her to talk about why she is calling for a thorough investigation of what occurred. And we'll welcome your questions and reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Representative Taylor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what was your initial reaction to hearing this news and seeing this video of the arrest of the 18-year-old woman outside Easttown Mall?
Well, seeing the video obviously was very, very disturbing. I was very upset by it. You know, it did seem to me from looking at a video without knowing the context, without knowing what occurred prior to this video being shot, it seemed to me like there was a disproportionate amount of force used for what the situation called for. And so, you know, it was very upsetting to see this young woman who doesn't appear to have a weapon, doesn't appear to be endangering anybody's safety at the moment that the video was shot, is repeatedly kneed and punched and repeatedly tasered. So, you know, it was very, very upsetting to see.
Yeah. So what's your reaction to Jessica McBride saying, hey, we are rushing to judgment here? The police were following lawful tactics. Certainly there should be an investigation, but calling for the arrest of these police officers and worse is way too premature.
Well, I certainly haven't called for the arrest of the police officers. What I have called for is an independent, thorough, and transparent investigation. Typically, when a situation like this happens, and there's an internal review done, not a criminal, an internal review done, you know, it is the department that does it, where the individual officer is employed. I have always thought that's a really bad process, that should be a lot more independent. Many states, many other communities have established an independent internal review process. So you take it out of the hands of the police chief, who may have a bias, may have trained this officer, and put it into a more independent, more transparent process. So I, you know, have long thought Madison should adopt a process like that, like Boise, Idaho, like Eugene, Oregon, many, many other communities have made it a much more independent process. In this case, it does look like the sheriff's department is coming in to oversee the internal investigation. So I think that's a really good step. But honestly, Joy, if this is what we should expect, if this is standard protocol, just given what's depicted in the video, then we have a big problem, in my opinion. The police chief has repeatedly said that he followed the state standards in the use of force. Well, the state standards set a minimum. Right in state standards is the encouragement of municipalities to adopt their own standards based on the standards of the community, based on the expectations of the community. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's happened in Madison. It looks like what has been adopted are the minimal state standards. Many other places throughout our state have adopted different standards and more aggressive standards to monitor the use of force to make sure that it is commensurate with the threat that is present. No one is saying, as suggested by your other guests, that force should never be used. That's ridiculous. Of course we know force has to be used, and sometimes lethal force has to be used. So no one's saying that, and certainly nobody is saying, and I'm certainly not saying, that, and I'm not demeaning the police. They have the hardest job in the world. They have to make split-second discussions. That's all true. And yet they have a tremendous amount of power. They have the power of the state behind them. When compared with the power of the average citizen, it far exceeds what we have. And so that's why it's so important to have these conversations in our community, not from a columnist from Milwaukee who's telling the people here what we should do or how we should behave. This is really a conversation for our community to have about the use of force. And so I think it is, you know, in the style of Madison, in the style of our community, we are having that conversation once again, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to have a critical eye. I think it's a good thing to watch closely in terms of the tactics that police employ because of that power that they have.
Let's take a call from Gary in Merrill. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. Well, thank you, Madison Police Department and Milwaukee Police Department, for bringing us law, order, and decent living as compared to anarchy. All that woman would have had to do is submit and put her hands behind her back, and she would have been arrested and taken away. But it's the trend of these predators to resist, to say hateful things, to threaten, and it's why a lot of people are not going to go to Lake Fest.
Well, I'm not going to. Gary says, just submit to the arrest, and this would never have happened. What do you say to that, Representative?
Well, you know, it does look, when the video starts, and again, we just have this video. We don't exactly know what happened prior to. I'm not condoning threats being made towards individuals. I'm certainly not condoning that behavior if that occurred. So we don't know exactly what occurred beforehand. But what we do have is this video. This is really all we have at this point. And it does look like the first officer was struggling a bit to get her hands behind her back. But then you see a second officer come out, give no indication of who he is, make no verbal commands, not attempt to de-escalate the situation, which is really what I think we expect here as a community. We expect police to attempt to de-escalate a situation. That is a tactic that has been touted by many, many different reports that look at policing in the 21st century. President Obama's own report talked about how important it is to train police in de-escalation tactics. We don't see any of that. What we see is this officer, this one officer, immediately used very aggressive force on this individual. So what I'm saying is, it looks like, from my perspective, that there could have been many other options here from the police. And we do expect a certain standard from the police. And so I think there could have been many other options here, and not this very, very aggressive physical option that was chosen by the police officer. But absolutely, I mean, the police have an incredibly important job in our community. No one's saying we should have anarchy. No one's saying we don't need the police. We certainly do need the police. But we do expect our police to adopt standards that are reflective of the values of our community.
And I'm going to leave it there as we have news next. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Chris Taylor, a Democratic state representative from Madison, who is calling for a thorough, independent investigation of a controversial, forceful arrest of an 18-year-old black woman outside of the Easttown Mall earlier this week. We welcome your questions and your reactions to this, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we had a listener who commented on Facebook, Representative Taylor, that the question isn't whether the police were following proper protocol, but whether this 18-year-old woman would have been treated the same if she were white. Is that what's being looked at here?
Well, I think that's certainly a big piece of it. You know, I think there's a general discussion about when force is used, and then you look at some of the racial disparities that we have in the city and in Dane County regarding the policing of African-Americans, the incarceration of African-Americans, and we see these very, very alarming disparities. So that conversation is a conversation this community has been having for a long time. So that also, though, in this incident, is really against this national backdrop that cannot be ignored, and that I think, you know, if you're a member of the African-American community, you're looking at this video after seeing a lot of the national videos about a lot of other disturbing incidents. And, of course, I think you're probably feeling like, wow, this is another incident where you have this very excessive use of force. So I don't think it's solely related to race. I do think there is an underlying issue about standards and when is force appropriate and how much force is appropriate. But then it's also layered against this backdrop of a city who is struggling. Our city is struggling to address these racial disparities and the unequal treatment of African Americans in the criminal justice system and in policing. So I think those two things are very hard to separate.
Yeah, I should note that you co-authored the relatively new state law that calls for a state investigation or an independent investigation of a police shooting. Is there
right.
a state law that says that in a case like this there would be an independent investigation?
No, our law dealt with the lethal use of force. So when there was an officer involved death, that there be a more independent criminal investigation. So that law is not applicable in this situation, but there are definitely opportunities at the more local level because there will be an internal investigation where the officer's conduct will be evaluated as to whether he violated or they violated the internal protocol for dealing with these types of situations. So I really think, you know, that was the state law was very, very important. It was designed to start addressing the issue of the process on the criminal side when there was a fatality. But there's many opportunities at the local level to look at the process that is used when you have these kinds of incidents. You don't have a death, you might have an injury. And to see, is there a better way going forward? Is there a more independent way at the local level to evaluate these occurrences? And I really think there is. So I think there's a lot of opportunities for our city to get a better process.
BJ emails, why are we not questioning what this girl did? She threatened someone with a knife. She hit and scratched police officers. Why are we placing blame on the police? It's not like she was just hanging out and the cops jumped her and she was acting violently.
Well, we don't know exactly what happened. There certainly are allegations that she made threats to people in the food court, that she, what the chief said is she flashed some kind of knife. He declined to say what kind of knife it was. I don't know. We, you know, there's many, many things we don't know. And so I'm not condoning that behavior if that occurred. But what we do see on this video is a woman who does not have a weapon, a woman who is not, it doesn't seem to be threatening the police. a woman who is struggling and who is agitated, but was the use of force employed, particularly by that second officer, necessary in the situation? Now, maybe it was ultimately, but what I would want to see first is an attempt to de-escalate the situation. I think it's very disturbing to see another officer rush in and immediately start punching and kneeing this individual without trying a less aggressive intervention. So I think really that's what our community expects. I think that our community morals and our values here expect that there will be a less aggressive intervention initially. And then as your other guest did rightfully acknowledge, there is a continuum of force. But let's start at the lowest use of force. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see the least amount of force necessary. And I think that is where our community is. But certainly we will be having this conversation going forward.
You also noted in your release that it is concerning that Ms. Laird, Janelle Laird, was not immediately taken to the hospital for medical care, which the two officers involved received, especially after she can be heard saying, "I cannot breathe."
Right. And that we did find out later that she did receive medical care. And one of her representatives said it seemed to be minimal medical care, but she did receive that. We did not know that. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. It did not appear that she had been taken to the hospital based on the conversation that we had with Chief Koval, but she did get medical care.
Mark in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hi there. Actually, in listening to things, my view has kind of evolved a little bit. It is not the police's job to bargain with you. It is not the police's job to talk you down off the edge. It is their job, if they're going to arrest you, to do it in the quickest, safest manner for themselves, not necessarily what is convenient for you. Not on your timetable. It is on theirs. And if you do not listen and comply, what you get is what you get.
Yeah, did you see this video, Mark?
I believe I saw a small fraction of what video is available, kind of the same as what your guest has seen. I haven't seen the entire thing, so I can't really make an informed decision on all of it. But I do hear that the police are being kind of indicted here based on maybe a third half of the story. And the lady in question is getting a pass for behaving, well, quite badly.
Reaction to that, Representative?
No. If that's what you're gleaning from what I'm saying, you're really not hearing what I'm saying, frankly. I am not indicting the police. I am not saying every police officer is horrible. We obviously need the police. Policing is an incredibly hard job. So I think, yeah, it is easy for us to be critical. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be constructive. I'm trying to identify concerns, valid concerns that are raised if you watch this video. I actually don't know how you can watch this video and not be alarmed by what you see. Now, it is only a piece of the story, but it's a piece that we have of the story. And so what I am saying and what my position is we want our police force in our community to be reflective of our community values. I would like to see, and I think most people would agree with me, a commensurate amount of force used that is consistent with what the threat is. In this instance, it does not seem like that was obtained. It does not seem like that was utilized. It seemed to me like you didn't need to punch this person or knee this person or taser this person repeatedly, that there were other options available that were not employed. Now, I'm not saying police officers should risk injury or their lives. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it seemed to me there was a very, very aggressive response, and there could have been another response. And that's what I think we want to see in our community. We want to see the lowest level of force used, just like the use of deadly force. I believe deadly force should be the last option. I believe it should be the very last thing that is employed.
So you concluded your release saying, "This incident is another example of why an independent structure for the internal investigation of officer conduct must be adopted in Madison." So what is the next step?
Right. Well, obviously, the Madison City Council, I think rightfully so, did allocate money to do a study of policing and the police department. And I think that's a good, healthy thing. And I'm hoping as part of that process that there could be recommendations made to move ahead in establishing an independent way to do internal investigations when there's a complaint about the police or when there's a concern about the use of force. So it's not actually the department looking at the police conduct, but an independent arm that looks and evaluates the police conduct. I'm also really hoping that we can, as a community, not just adopt the state standard for the use of force, which is a minimal standard. We can be leaders on this issue. I'd like to see Madison be a leader on really adopting a standard that embraces that force will be used that's commensurate with the threat, that force will be used that's proportional to the threat. So we have a lot of opportunities here in our community to adopt a better, more comprehensive standard than that which is set forth by the state, which is the minimum standard on the use of force. So I'm really hoping that conversation is, I know it's happening, and I hope out of this incident that we can make some forward progress. And as a community, we can come together with our police force, with officers involved, with the chief, and have these discussions about what our expectations are for the police and how do we incorporate that into the use of force policies.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Chris Taylor is a Democratic state representative from Madison. She is calling for a thorough and independent investigation of what occurred. And earlier we heard from Jessica McBride, a senior journalism lecturer at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who was concerned that we are too quick to judge in situations like this and thinks that the Madison police are being unfairly criticized over this. Thanks very much to producers Naeja Ellison and Brianne Shasso. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Coming up next, it's The Week in Review. We'll talk about the top stories in state and national politics. It's The Week in Review coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.